This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Really bright lights still in our studio. They replaced them. They took out some of the cameras. They brought in new cameras. And then they started fiddling with the lights and recalibrating the different lights, moving them around. And my goodness, I don't have the brightest, whitest lights on. Oh, no, those are the ones that are in my neighbor's backyard. But I do have these harsh white lights in here. Actually, they're yellow lights. Harsh yellow lights that are at the front of my studio where I'm looking. And every now and then when I get fired up about something or I'm in the middle of a passionate debate or just telling a story that requires all of me, sometimes it's like hokey pokey. You got to put your whole self in. These lights make me sweat so badly. And we'll be in the middle of a segment, 3 minutes down, 12 minutes to go, something along those lines. And I am sweating profusely. It's another reason why this show does not need to be broadcast on a YouTube channel. Although Pete and I have talked about that. Not sure how I feel about it because I talk with my hands very extensively. If I had to sit on my hands over the course of an entire segment, I would not sound like the same host. It's an Italian girl thing. So, I do need to be waving my hands all around. Sometimes, often, I'll accidentally knock into the mic. Or I have been known to knock my coffee over because I drink my iced coffee with a big straw that sticks out of the top of the mug. And so I'll be waving my hands around and I'll accidentally catch the straw, which then takes over the whole drink and knocks it over. You know, the straw that stirs the drink. So that's been known to happen. I try to keep lids on my various beverages. I have a big bottle of water too. Speaking of that, oh my gosh, my poor husband. I don't know how many other people have run into this ruined a really sweet gesture. So one of the things I said in my vows when we got married, knowing that my husband and I share a love for coffee, but also a need for coffee. We could not operate. I could not do these hours without coffee. He's not a morning person. So we connected. Actually, our first date was not coffee. There was no coffee, only because it was an evening date. But we love coffee. And it's something that regardless what else is going on, even if we hate each other, we still can come together over coffee. We don't hate each other. But now and then, you know, we don't like each other very much. Anyway, in my vows, I told him that I would always hand him his coffee. I would always bring him his coffee. So he and I both make coffee in the evening because I make it so that I have it for when I come into work at night. He makes it and sets it on a timer on his actual brew, his brew maker, so that it's ready for him when he manages to slump down the stairs in the morning. Sometimes I walk in the door and I can tell right away whether or not he's had his first sips of coffee. Anyway, on Wednesday evening, I was I think I was biking. We did, for the first time in quite a while, we didn't eat dinner together on Wednesday evening because with baseball and just everything else going on in October, my schedule is even wonkier, right? You don't have set hours to do sports during this month. It's just all the time. So I was biking and then I was eating dinner on my own. And I guess I was in the living room watching baseball and eating my dinner and didn't realize that he had gone in and made the coffee. So I didn't know. And he didn't tell me. I think he wanted it to be a surprise. So I go to make my coffee. So I make Keurig and then I leave it, wait till it's cooler because I drink iced coffee. And I grab the mug from out underneath the Keurig because sometimes I leave a mug there and it's full. Coffee everywhere, all over the counter, underneath his coffee maker, underneath a couple of the decorative dishes that I have on the counter, underneath the Keurig, coffee everywhere. Ugh. So I had to remember what a sweet gesture it was and not use my misplaced aggression and directed at him because he had made me the coffee and he wanted it to be a surprise. And then what do? I spill half of it and it goes all over the counter. So then I'm annoyed because I have to clean up the coffee. But I had to be careful not to direct my annoyance at him because he was doing something really sweet. But unfortunately, I didn't know it and coffee went everywhere, all over the counter.
Well, could you have gotten away with, the cup didn't fill properly?
No. I don't want to take away any of the kindness. I don't want to.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want to negate the amazing thing that he did for me.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I just wasn't expecting it. I'm not sure what that says about his kindness. Just kidding. He's very kind, but he doesn't. I normally make the coffee. He will make dinner or he'll do dishes. This is the first time in a long time he's made the coffee for me.
You might need to make coffee for your neighbor.
I don't know. I am on Thursday I'm not going to hand it to him. I don't really want to interact with him. I'm going to put it in his mailbox, a note, a card with a note apologizing that it's gotten to this point and asking if he would please reconsider. The last time we even saw his face and had any type of interaction was last Thursday. So it's been a week. And as I said, I think on our last show, we tried sleeping in the spare bedroom over the weekend. That didn't go well. But it's not just about the light in our bedroom where we have two windows and both of them are receiving this white hot LED light with no cover on it. Our entire backyard is lit up. We're building a room. It's just a small room, a 10x8 room. Who knew that a 10x8 room would destroy our entire backyard? Oh my gosh, the whole thing is a mess. But anyway, it's just a small room, but it's gonna be all windows. It's a bit of a sunroom, if you will, a sunroom/mudroom, and it's gonna be all windows except for the door. So we're gonna be dealing with this light. And you know what happens in the fall? It gets darker earlier. The fall and the winter. Do you know what time the light came on Wednesday?
I'm going to say 5:00.
No, not quite that early. It's a dusk to dawn. It came on at 7:15.
Oh.
By the time we get to December, that light, got to be careful what I call it, that light is going to be on at 4:15 in the afternoon.
Safe harbor time.
I mean, it's wrong. It'll be on, and then it'll be on until after I go to sleep in the morning because it doesn't get light in the dead of winter until about 8:15. It's just, the whole thing is ridiculous. And the fact that I get very worked up, the fact that the neighbor won't even consider or hasn't to this point even consider doing anything about it just because he doesn't want to. No, it's too hard. I put it up there already. You should have told me before I put it up there. So anyway, I don't even want to interact with him, but it's been a week. I've managed to find some calm about it, some peace. We now have two sets of curtains on our window, but there's still light coming in. I mean, it's just gross.
I would say after this letter, if it doesn't go over well, I would follow Bob's lead.
Nah. No. It's not because I don't trust Bob.
No.
It's because, first of all, Bob gets very upset because I'm upset. And so for that reason, it kind of blew up more than it should have.
A lot of yelling, probably.
And these are my neighbors going back now 4 years. So I feel like if I appeal to them, maybe we have a better shot. But beyond that, this is my last chance. I haven't seen the wife. She and I usually interact. I see her a couple times a week. She'll be outside, blah, blah, whatever. Haven't seen her. But this is my last attempt. If it doesn't work, this will be now 3 weeks in, no changes to it. And I'm just going to go to the town. I'm going to call the town and ask them to come check it out and just explain that it's lighting up the entire back of our house. It's coming in our skylight in our bathroom. And it's an unnatural bright white light. It's like those headlights that you see on the highway now.
Yep.
Those bright LED lights that you can't look directly at. That's how bright this light is. It's unnecessary. And we don't keep your light, but we don't want your light.
When the town comes, I would suggest having them come when you're not home.
At night? Well, I'm not home at night, so.
where you're both not at home. Have directions on where to go, just because it will take you away from that part of it, in case there's any brushback from the neighbor.
Oh, well. Let me tell you how unafraid I am of the neighbor. I've had enough. I mean, we tried. I tried to ask him, and he won't listen. He just yells over the top of us and it just tells me why it's not worth it and that he's not going to do anything about it because he doesn't have to. And then said something about the town and there being a town ordinance, and his response was, "Hey, your trees are hanging over onto my property," which that's not even a thing. I can't control the trees, right? So, I don't know if I told you this story before, but when I first bought the house, there is a large oak tree that's in a strip of grass. Well, it's planted in a strip of grass between me and the other neighbor, other side. This tree has gotten so large that it's not only, so it started out being on his property, now it's on my property, and the roots are forcing my driveway to crack, right? So for whatever reason, the roots don't grow in his yard, they grow in mine. And apparently the people who own the house before me paved the driveway, and within 6 months, the roots had come up through the driveway. So anyway, when I bought the house, I asked a lawyer because I needed to know what I could do if this became an issue. What if those roots are now into my plumbing? And what happens if, you know, if I need to take this tree out? And what I was told was, once it's on your property, you can do whatever you want with it, right? It's no longer just his tree. Now it's your tree as well. But it's not his obligation. It's now your problem, right? So you can't make the neighbor do something about the tree once it's on your property. And so, yeah, this neighbor now with the light came to me in the summertime and said, "Hey, the branches of your pine trees are laying on my garage." You know, and so I right away hired someone to cut the tree, to trim the tree. Is it still hanging over his property? Sure, 80 feet up in the air. It's not touching anything on his property. And so he started screaming about cutting the trees. And fine, cut the tree if that's what you want to do. Cut what's hanging over the fence 80 feet up in the air if that's what you want to do. I don't care. That's a completely different issue than your light disturbing our peace in our house. So,
I feel very sorry for you guys. That's a horrible thing to be. Right next, you can't sleep in your own home.
No, it's rough. Like I said, it's not just the bedroom, though. It's every other room on the back of our house. And so it's been really frustrating. I had to get calm and to find a place of...
It's Todd and Margo.
No anxiety so that I could write the letter. And the letter will be going to the neighbors on Thursday. But so many of you keep asking. It's amazing how something this small, I think in the grand scheme of life, this is not a major issue that I would think anybody else would care about, just me. And yet so many people have reached out to ask, what's going on with the light? What's going on with the neighbor? And some of you have said, yeah, we've had this situation in the past. So I do appreciate that you all care. And many of you have offered suggestions. I actually had a friend. This friend of mine is in his 80s. He and his wife were at our wedding last year. And he wrote to me on Wednesday and he said, is the BB gun legal? Because if it is, I would go that route. I don't actually think shooting a BB gun in a neighborhood is legal, but I could be wrong.
Do a slingshot with a small ball.
Yeah, I don't really want my husband to go to jail. We just moved there. I don't really want him to get hauled off in handcuffs.
Well, that's all right. I mean, if you were slingshot with like a ball, you can get the light pushed another way.
Nah, it's not that kind of a light. It's not a light that's on a hinge. He put up a... I'm trying to think of how you would describe this light. It's
like if you put it to the against the wall. It's like it's steady. It doesn't move.
Yeah, it doesn't move. He didn't buy a floodlight that you can point in a particular direction. He just put up the brightest light with a white globe. So there's no baffle. There's okay. No cover. There's no nothing. It's a white globe, and the light is so bright, and there's nothing to impede the light. So he could have picked a completely different light, and that's the point, is he picked this light because he wants to light up the whole damn neighborhood. And he even said to us, oh, it lights up your neighborhood or your backyard. It looks great. And Bob and I said to him, we don't want our backyard lit up. We'd actually like to see the moon and the stars.
Have a headache.
Yeah, exactly. So he is not caring even the slightest. So I do fear we're going to have to go the town route, but I am going to try one more time to be kind. Also, though, I'll be photocopying the letter just so the town can see that I wrote to the neighbor.
We have the whole process for them, too. They should know everything.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway.
Deep breaths.
You all care very much. It's been very stressful. I don't know if that's part of the reason why I did not race very well on Saturday in the half marathon. I had a real hard time, especially the last 4 miles. And I was trained. I was fully trained, but I just didn't do well. I was pretty tired. So, I think it's affecting a lot of different aspects of life. But don't you worry. While I can't sleep, I'm prepping for the show. I'm following sports. All right, coming up, I would say it's a certain amount of pain, disappointment, dejection that is emanating from Baltimore. I understand this is really hard for Orioles fans, again, to not be able to break this drought. If it makes you feel any better, what goes around comes around, and pretty much every fan base has to deal with it at some point. Think about what the Tigers and the Royals have been through in the last decade and how they've now surged back to a place of relevance. But for the Orioles, I can understand why this is uber disappointing, and where do they go from here? Where do the fans go from here? AJ Hinch, he was out of baseball for a year, and now he's back in with the Tigers, and they're on the road to redemption in a big way. So again, what goes around comes around, but I know it's pretty disappointing. So we'll look at the AL series from the perspective of the two teams that are out, which are those Orioles, as well as, gosh, the way that these playoffs work out, right, is tough because you feel like you get all fired up and you're in for the long haul, and then boom, you're out. And so I certainly understand. I don't want to make light. It is sports. It's not life or death. But for the Orioles and the Astros, I think when it comes to those two teams, people feel far more grief and empathy for the Orioles than they do for the Astros. So I'm not sure anybody's crying for Argentina over Houston being out. But definitely the Orioles. At A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page as well, how do you like this 3-game format in the wild card? I don't. It's After Hours with Amy Lauren.
The 1-1. Junior, it's a ground ball up the middle, and that is going to be a diving play by Arias. Throw to first, and a bounce is late. And Bobby Witt Jr. reaches with an infield single, so no great play on the infield this time to beat him to first base. And Bobby Witt Jr. with an infield single drives in Kyle Isbell, and the Royals take a 2-1 lead.
The Royals dugout on the top step, ready to explode. The Orioles hoping for a miracle. The 1-2, swing and a miss. There is no miracle. There is no win. There is no extension of the season. For the second straight year, the Baltimore Orioles end their season at the hands of an opponent who sweeps them out of the postseason. Last year it was the Rangers. This year it is the Royals. Kansas City 2, Baltimore 1 is your final score, and it is your final score as the curtain closes on the 2024 Baltimore Orioles season.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ouch! That's painful. And even more painful that the Orioles never really seemed to get their bats working in this series. And I know if it was one game, they would have been one and done. And so maybe that's why fans argue for a three-game series. But it was no different, really, in game number two for the Orioles. And this has got to be extremely painful. Now, the Royals, they earned it. They have not been in the playoffs since 2015, and now they've survived to the division series. It's a great story for Kansas City, for Detroit, for the AL Central, with three teams still alive into the division series. But this is rough for the Baltimore Orioles to have just one run in these two games at home. And so for a second consecutive year, they're swept in their only opportunity. And I don't really love sweep. I mean, I guess technically it is. They lose two games. 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position and 5-for-32 overall. And what about Brandon Hyde? What about losing Corbin Burns or other free agents? And so this one's really rough. Maybe not as tough as last year when they had over 100 wins, but I don't know. The fact that it happens 2 years in a row, maybe it's pain compounded by more disappointment and dejection. The calls there, by the way, Bobby Witt with an RBI single in each of these games for the Royals. He comes through in such a big way, both games on the stage. And then you hear the final call from Orioles radio. And yeah, the disappointment evident even on the radio version of the end of their season.
I thought they did a great job of pitching out of trouble. I thought we gave everything we had. I thought we pitched really, really well. We pitched out of traffic almost the entire game, it felt like, to keep the score where it was. And, you know, just a disappointing finish.
Cedric Mullins did homer for the O's. But now 10 consecutive losses in the postseason. And I really did believe, of course, you can always see it playing out a bunch of different ways. But I did believe this team, because of their experience last year, a lot of these young guys getting their feet wet in the playoffs, would be able to bust through and at the very least get past this round. And remember, they were battling with the Yankees all the way through this regular season, did briefly take the lead in the AL East, but kept the Yankees in their sights. And so we knew they were game for a battle. We knew they were game for a fight. And Cedric Mullins, as I say, had the home run. He thought they were ready to make some noise as well.
I feel like we put ourselves in a good spot to have a good run. Again, didn't go our way. But I think this one's going to stick a little bit more just because second time through experiencing the same thing, it's more frustrating.
As baseball players, you know, play the what-ifs through your head for these next couple of days. Just what you could have done better, what could have gone our way and didn't, it's going to sting a little bit.
As Jordan Westberg kind of saying the same thing, believing that this year would be different. But you look up and down their lineup.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
0000 for a lot of the guys when it came to hits. But even more so, the numbers that are stark. 9 guys left on base in this game. Just the one run. 0-for-6 in this one with runners in scoring position. Not capitalizing on the opportunities that are there. And from year to year, I'm not a big fan of dragging the playoff record, regardless of whether it's positive or negative, dragging it through to another postseason, another October. I don't love that because every season is different. But I do believe that all of these experiences can be positive. And I do believe they've changed the culture in Baltimore. They've gotten back to the point where they're competing for division titles, where they're competing to be in the postseason. And as much as the disappointment is there, it's only failure or the end, so to speak, if they just give up and go away. Now, there are a lot of fans who are calling for the end of Brandon Hyde. A lot of people who want big time changes. And those may come. Always got to have someone to blame. But I hope and I believe that most of the time when you ask the players, they're going to say, hey, I had an opportunity. I was there in the batter's box with runners in scoring position. I had the chance. Just, man, the bats were not there. What did Gunnar Henderson say after the opener? Well, if we knew what was going on, if we had the answers, we'd fix it. But it's tough. And we saw this over the course of the regular season. They would have these swoons where the bats just weren't coming through. And it's one thing in the regular season, of course. It's entirely another when you're talking about a playoff series that's short. So again, I know you could use one of these series and saying like, hey, it's better to have two opportunities than one. At least you know for sure it wasn't an aberration. But I'm not sure it makes it any better when it comes to the Orioles. So yeah, we've got some great stories out of the AL Central, the Royals, the Tigers. It's been a decade plus for the Tigers. They just went 11 years without a playoff win. So I certainly understand the disappointment, but I do believe that most of this stuff is cyclical. Now, there are a handful of franchises that have never won a World Series. San Diego being one of those. Is it their time? We've got one series left in the wild card, and then the dust will settle, but only for Friday. Boom, right into the division series on Saturday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I love the AJ Hinch component with the Tigers now. And remember, Detroit was down and out. There's a good chance he would have been fired had they not had this miraculous rally. 10 games back in the middle of August. 10 games back. And along with the Padres, they've got one of the best records in baseball over the past 6 weeks, the last 6 weeks of the regular season. You think about where they were in 22. They lost 96 games. I mean, I know it's not the White Sox, but they lost 96 games. 30 games below 500 in 2022. 23, a little bit closer, but still 84 losses. And this year, only 10 games above 500. But I do believe when you're talking about teams that have had to fight and scratch and claw just to stay alive, I'll think back to those 2019 Washington Nationals. They were 12 games under 500 at one point that season. Man, you can look at the Mets now too. Even though they are on the ropes against the Brewers, or they've got this winner-take-all game Thursday. But for teams that have been in a heightened sense of alert, if that makes sense. All of your synapses are firing every single game because you've got no margin for error. As those teams find that, the confidence, the momentum, but just the belief in their own clubhouse that, hey, we've done this already. We can keep this going. That type of spirit is contagious. And also, I do think there's something to be said for not having the time off. As much as the Braves could have benefited from a day or two off having to fly from Atlanta to San Diego and go right into a buzzsaw at Petco Park. But the Mets, they're continuing with that momentum. They're coming up with big hits. But also the Tigers, the Royals, needing every last day of the regular season to get into the playoffs and moving forward in that same heightened state of urgency, that same adrenaline, that same, we got to prove it now, that same backs against the wall mentality. That really does benefit teams when they head into the playoffs. Now, at some point, they might run out of gas. But you can see where it's kind of carrying those teams right now. And even the Padres, I mean, they'd clinched a playoff spot. Remember the triple play against the Dodgers? That was what, the second to last series? The penultimate series of the regular season, I believe. One of those. And so they had clinched a playoff spot, but they'd been chasing the Dodgers for most of that second half as well. Man, that division series is going to be lit. Both LA and San Diego with the huge crowds. Looking forward to that one. At A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, you all with your suggestions about the neighbor's light. I just got this one on Twix. I don't know how you haven't given Bob the go-ahead to put that light out with a BB gun yet. Well, you can go and check out my response. There is really only one reason that I haven't said to my husband, please shoot the light out. There's only one reason. And it's not because I need my neighbor to read the nice note I've written to him first. Nope, not that. 855-212-4227. So we'll talk about the Tigers for sure. How about the Tigers and the Lions? Detroit sports fans, who's got it better than you? Oh, I'm stealing from Baltimore. Nobody. Not from Baltimore, maybe just from the Harbaughs. Stealing from the Harbaughs. Who's got it better than you? This is pretty sweet, though. The Lions won their first playoff game in, don't tell me, 32 years? Was it 32? 32?
Sounds about right,
37?
Yeah.
Am I underestimating?
No, it has to be in the 30s.
It was more than three decades that the Lions had won a playoff game. And now the Tigers have erased a fairly long drought. How about you guys in Detroit? I know we have a lot of listeners on 97.1 The Ticket. I hear from you all the time. Big fans of the show. Thank you. Well, now, look. Detroit. Right in the mix. I can't put you in the center of the sports world, but I know there are a lot of people rooting for the Lions. How about that? They are a sentimental favorite, kind of like the Cubs were when they were trying to end their 108-year drought and win a World Series. The Lions, like the Browns would be, I think the teams that have this dubious history, more failure than success, especially more recently with the agony of defeat, always on the wrong end of things, people root for those teams.
Oh, Cinderella stories. The underdog.
That's right. We did adopt the Lions last year, and they made it all the way to the NFC Championship. Could this be the year? Could this be the year the Tigers get back to the World Series? There's so many questions. October gives us so many questions. Very few answers until the end. Great to have you with us. This portion of the show sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. That sounds very enjoyable. Here's our latest sports update. No, I'm not being sarcastic. And here's Manny Rodriguez.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, we'll begin with postseason baseball, and they're chanting Beat LA in San Diego tonight.
Freed, big breath. He delivers. Machado swings, lines it into left field. That's a fair ball. Going to bounce and roll all the way to the wall. Arise and Tatis have scored. Profar will be held. Manny into second with a two-run double. And the Padres in front. It's 3-1.
Jesse Agler, Padres Radio Network. That double by Machado would give the Padres a lead they would not give up. They survive a late push by the Braves, 5-4 to complete the sweep. This sets up a Padres-Dodgers NLDS matchup slated to start on Saturday night, a 5:38 Western time first pitch at Chavez Ravine. The Royals defeated the Orioles 2-1. An RBI infield single by Bobby Witt Jr. is the difference. The Royals now travel to New York for a five-game series against the Yankees. These two teams met four times in the postseason to close out the 1970s, but it's the first time they'll meet this late in the year in 44 years. Andy Ibañez, he stuns the crowd at Minute Maid.
Hader works third base side, places that right foot in front of the left when he sets. The 1-2, swinging the line drive down the left field line, hooking toward the corner. Fair ball, up against the wall. Fairling is in, Torkelson is in. They're waving him home. Torkelson around third, he will score. Ibañez ends up on third. It's a three-run double, and the Tigers take a 5-2 lead in the eighth.
Dan Dickerson, Tigers Radio. That clutch extra base hit by Ibañez broke the tie and would secure the Tigers' first postseason series win since 2013. And for the first time since 2016, the ALCS will not feature the Astros. Tigers 5, Astros 2, the final. Lastly, a two-run blast by Garrett Mitchell completes the comeback. The Brewers, they beat the Mets 5-3. They force a winner-take-all Game 3, a 6:08 Central first pitch from American Family Field. To the NFL, Raiders wide receiver Devontae Adams is not expected to play on Sunday night against the Broncos due to a hamstring injury. Adams reportedly requested a trade on Tuesday. I'm Andy Rodriguez.
Third base side, places that right foot in front of the left when he sets. The 1-2, swinging the line drive down the left field line, hooking for the corner. Fair ball, up against the wall. Fairling is in, Torkelson is in. They're waving him home. Torkelson around third, he will score. Ibañez ends up on third. It's a three-run double, and the Tigers take a 5-2 lead in the eighth.
Four-run eighth inning. Rallied the Tigers against the two best relievers in that Houston Astros bullpen from a 2-1 deficit. Ground ball softly to second. Keith will charge, field and flip. Tigers win. They're moving on. They pour out of the dugout and mob each other behind the pitcher's mound. What a moment in Houston.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
AJ Hinch may not want to focus on it, but man, what a sweet redemption story for the manager they fired in the wake of the sign-stealing scandal. Now he's back with the Tigers, and yes, at Minute Maid Park, a place where he's far more familiar with the home clubhouse, he's guiding these young Tigers who have very little playoff experience into the American League Division Series. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, the call there on Tigers Radio, and Andy Ibañez had a tie-breaking three-run double in their big inning, which was the eighth. So really dramatic against the Astros. They put four runs across the plate in the eighth and were able to take out the Astros in the two games. Parker Meadows with another big hit, a home run. So yeah, this is pretty cool to see what the Tigers are doing. And I know I focused on the fact that they hadn't won a playoff game since 2013, but they actually entered this game on Wednesday with just one playoff win going back to the turn of the century, when they were trailing in the eighth inning or later. So their history, recent history, last couple decades, has not been these dramatic rallies and comebacks. And Ibañez now holds a special place in Tigers lore. First one ever in their history with a pinch hit, go-ahead hit in the playoffs. Okay. Tigers and the Guardians. I was going to say the Indians, sorry. Old habits die hard. The Detroit, I'll just say Detroit and Cleveland. The Detroit-Cleveland series is actually a first. The two teams have never met in the playoffs, which is interesting. We right now are staring at two intra-divisional division series. It's a mouthful. But we could end up with three, depending on the Mets and the Brewers, and they'll play their game three coming up on Thursday. So, yeah, love it for A.J. Hinch, although he really did not want to engage in any type of gamesmanship against the Astros.
I mean, I think this is about the Tigers. You know, I think this is a young group celebrating in our clubhouse, in what was an incredible series for us. And you know, a microcosm of our season. I mean, we've come from behind. We have fought. We have played 27 outs. Like, all the things that a manager can be proud of, you know, our team exemplifies. So I think, you know, getting this group, getting their buy-in, getting their trust, getting their willingness to do anything allows us to make a ton of decisions during the game to win the game. So, like, I appreciate the connection between my past, but this is about our team and the Tigers.
Now, he was calm. He was professional. Of course, he has World Series championship experience, and so he's been here, done that. There's a long way to go. His locker room speech to his young Tigers, that was a little bit different. This was fun.
Listen, when we started this series, everybody said we weren't playoff tested. We just passed the biggest test of the year to date, but there's more coming, okay? Never know. Get it going. Listen, I'm not sure who, but somebody let the Tigers get hot.
Somebody let the Tigers get hot. It's terrific. And if you can't hear it, there's bottles clinking in the background. So they haven't quite, at that point, popped the corks. Who did we hear that were popping the corks the other night?
Atlanta.
It was Atlanta. Yeah. So as Snitker was talking, they were popping the corks. In this case, they waited until AJ was done talking, or maybe the corks were already out, but you could hear the bottles clinking in the background. And the second, if you want to grab the video, Pete, and put it up on our show Twix at Amy After Hours, the second he got done saying, I don't know who, but somebody let the Tigers get hot, the place went crazy and he got completely soaked. That kind of thing, it goes around in October. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Dean is listening in Jacksonville. Dean, welcome to the show. What do you think about the Tigers?
Well, as a lifelong Tiger fan growing up in Detroit and leaving there years ago to join the Navy, I'm just ecstatic with them winning. But there was a statistic yesterday about the hater, the guy that gave up the runs to the Tigers. His salary is greater than the whole 26-man Tiger roster for the year, though. So these huge salaries we're doing in all sports, and I was just doesn't necessarily correlate to winning. So the Tigers, you know, A.J. Hinch is just doing a great job managing this young Tiger lineup.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I think that, I mean, money can buy you talent. You look at the Dodgers, right? I don't know if they win a World Series, but that you can buy an Ohtani for $700 million, and he is going to make your team better, and he is going to make you more relevant. Not necessarily a championship, but at the very least, you'll be able to compete more because of him. So money does benefit you in that way, but money doesn't buy heart. It doesn't buy character. It doesn't buy chemistry. It doesn't necessarily buy guys who care more about the man on their left and the man on their right than they do about their own individual goals. And chemistry is one of those things that's so, it's so elusive. It really is about the whole group buying in. And a lot of times it's the leadership that establishes that and the winning culture. And it doesn't happen overnight. And I love that about A.J. Hinch. He brings so much of that character and they follow his lead. But they've all come together in a way that is just terrific. And so they've got the chemistry. And you're right about that. Money can't purchase that.
Well, you know, we're here in Jacksonville. We're 0-4 with Trevor Lawrence. Mm. So obviously, money. We see this in the NFL with these high-paid quarterbacks. So it doesn't necessarily correlate to winning. I mean, just like Kansas City is going to New York, play the Yankees without looking. I can guarantee you, the Yankee salary overall structure is greater than Kansas City, but Kansas City can surely win the series against the Yankees.
Yeah, at this point, anything can happen. Obviously, a lot of it comes down to pitching, and the Tigers have terrific pitching. One way that they got hot, maybe they didn't have to give so many heart attacks to their fans by waiting until the last possible second. But yeah, it's been fun to watch this ride.
Yeah, it was a great environment last week. I was in Detroit.
Cool.
I went to the game Thursday with the closing of the series against Tampa where they won. And then Friday night, I watched it at a relative's house in Detroit, though, with a clinching against the White Sox.
So how do you follow them when you're in Jacksonville?
You can get a few games on the MLB. So just, you know, just kind of, you know, go on the internet, just kind of follow them, though. Just I didn't think when they were 10 games out there was any way they were going to close it in. But they certainly did, though. And it's just this playoff series has just been a microcosm of the whole end of the season since August 10th when they started closing down.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And the fact that they've stayed in this kind of sense of urgency where they have to have it working every single night, I think also benefits them. I mean, if you ever decide you want to follow them on a regular basis, I highly recommend getting satellite radio because you can hear every single radio call for every single game. And it's a great way to follow games out of market.
Yeah, I have that in my car when I'm driving around.
There you
go. I can do that in Sirius, though. You know, get the local broadcast.
Cool. Very cool. Well, good luck to your Tigers. I hope you enjoy the ride, and thank you, sir, for your service.
Thank you for your show. It's always great. I enjoy it.
Cool. Awesome. In Jacksonville, a Tigers fan. We snagged one in Florida. But I know there are a lot of people listening in Detroit because I hear from the Motor City all the time. You guys must be jazzed up. Lions and Tigers. And nope, I'm not going to say it. But yes, congratulations to AJ Hinch. He makes me want to root for the Tigers because they fired him in Houston. They made him the scapegoat. And now look, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.